It's Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. You're with us here on the Ideas Network. Cooking and eating food can be pretty basic. You got to eat, you got to feed your people. Maybe you don't have a lot of time, so you keep it simple. Move on to the next thing. But food can be a lot more than that. What we prepare, the recipes we follow, where those traditions come from, it can connect us to our families, ourselves, and other people. That's the driving concept behind the collaborative series Food Traditions, created by PBS Wisconsin and WPR's Wisconsin Life Programs. The third installment of the series launched this week. We're going to get a taste of what's on the menu this time around, and we want to hear from you at 800-642-1234. What are your food traditions, your family's food traditions? Is there a special dish that's been handed down maybe through generations, or that a whole bunch of members of your family or friends get together to make, maybe around a holiday or maybe it's any time? What makes it special? Do you have a food that you associate with a family member? Join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas@WPR.org. Kelly Saran is the Wisconsin Life Series producer for PBS Wisconsin. Kelly, welcome back to Central Time.
Thank you so much. Excited to be here.
And Maureen McCollum is the Wisconsin Life Radio Series producer for WPR. Maureen, thanks for being back with us.
Hi, Rob. Thanks for having me.
Well, Kelly, I gave a very brief description of this ongoing food tradition series. Can you tell us a little more about what you're trying to accomplish?
Sure. So we travel around the state and try to go into people's homes and really find what they consider a food tradition. So we come with them, they cook with us, we get to hear about that tradition. And sometimes that tradition, like you said, can be passed down from generations. Other times it can be a tradition that maybe you've created yourself and you do annually and you want to pass it on. So really, we come into people's homes or businesses, their restaurants, they cook with us, they share that recipe with us, and we get a little bit of taste of what it means for them to be to have a food tradition.
And Maureen, what has you excited about seeking out these food traditions around the state?
Well, one, I mean, everyone loves a good food story, right? Like, I think learning about people through food, too, is such a wonderful way to learn about who that person is, the culture they grew up in, maybe even the region of Wisconsin they grew up in. So, for example, this season, we talk with a woman who grew up in Brazil. Maybe someone's never met another person who grew up in Brazil. And I think learning about this woman, Mara, through her own food stories is a really great way to get to know who she is, what some traditions are of other Brazilians in Wisconsin. Food is just such a beautiful icebreaker, flavored icebreaker, if you want to say that, and just learning to get to know our neighbors better.
Well, let's check out that story from Brazil. We've got a clip from the WPR Wisconsin Life by Maria Brunetta telling the story of Mara's Brazilian cuisine in downtown Oshkosh. We're going to hear some of, Maria's Brazilian cuisine. We're going to hear some of Maria talking and then Mara Rintamaki. Here's a listen.
The Brazilian community in Wisconsin is still relatively small, but it's growing. I grew up in southern Wisconsin after moving from Brazil in 2008. There, we found a community that became our family, much like what Rintamaki has found in northern Wisconsin. And she keeps an open door at Mara's Brazilian Cuisine for anyone who wants to become a part of her community.
Come to Mama. I come here and have some big plate of feijoada, which is the black beans. I will make you feel like you're home, and I will not make you feel alone. I come here anytime.
Can you talk a little bit, Maureen, about that theme of, sounds like Mara's trying to build some community around her Brazilian cuisine there.
She absolutely is. Come to Mama. I love that quote there. So one thing that Mara and Maria talk about in this story is that, you know, oftentimes in Wisconsin, when we think about Brazilian cuisine, we think about those all-you-can-eat steakhouses, which are delicious. But at Mara's restaurant, she wanted to bring in more of the traditional foods that you would eat at your mother's house or at your grandmother's house, just for like a weekend gathering. And so when Mara moved to Wisconsin, she started cooking for her friends. Her friends loved the meals she was making for them. And so it was a way for her to build community through food, through Brazilian food. So building community among other Brazilians, bringing people together to have a taste of home, but also just introduce people who had not had a connection with Brazilian culture to these dishes that she grew up with. And in this piece, they dive into estrogonofe de carne, and I know I'm not saying the correct Portuguese pronunciation of that, but in this story, Maria, the reporter, she talks about how this is a really important dish to her. And for me, it's interesting because I grew up eating beef stroganoff. I still make beef stroganoff, but hearing the Brazilian take on beef stroganoff is really interesting. It makes me so hungry. I can't wait to cook this recipe. Essentially, they'll use other ingredients like hearts of palm, and they top the beef stroganoff with potato sticks. So it's really cool just to learn about these dishes that are actually quite global and how different cultures really localize them for themselves.
And Kelly, let's check out one of the TV stories about a Libyan stew called mbakbaka. Here's a clip of the episode featuring Zainab Hassan.
When people think about Arab or Middle Eastern cuisine, they think about Lebanese, Syrian food, that region. And I think that impacted me as a child because I felt like I wasn't good enough. Nobody knew or cared about my culture or who we are as Libyans and North Africans. My connection to the North African cuisine really helped me sort of break through that. It played an important role in me learning to love who I am, and I'm really grateful for it. Mbakbaka is like an authentic Libyan dish. It's a hearty dish, it's delicious, it's spicy, it's super easy to make. We all grew up eating it. It's, you know, sun is coming down, you're out in the park and you're hungry, so what do? You whip up mbakbaka.
Kelly, tell us a little more about Zainab and this way that she talks about expressing her identity through this Libyan dish.
Yeah, so Zainab, she used to make spices mix with her mother and really learn from her mother about those spice mixes as well. So it's really nice to hear kind of that story. And I love that imagery she gives of kind of the sun's coming down and you know that that hearty meal is kind of waiting for you. And it makes me think to myself as well, what are the hearty meals that I had? But it was just really nice to be with Zainab because she really like did a really nice job of just connecting how that making food and making Libyan food really kind of gave her the confidence she needed to embrace her culture and her ethnicity in a way that was really positive and fun. And now she's trying to share that as well. And we'll actually be doing a presentation with Zainab at the Garden Landscape Expo at the Align Energy on Saturday, February 10th. It's part of that expo at 1:30, and we're going to cook this dish with her and we can hear from her as well too. So that's kind of a nice little add-on as well.
Talking to Kelly Saran from PBS Wisconsin, Maureen McCollum from WPR, producers of Wisconsin Life, talking about the new series on food traditions. You can join in with your food traditions at 800-642-1234. If you have a story to share, Marianne is on the line now in Middleton. Marianne, hi.
Hi. I just wanted to share, I guess, one of our food traditions, which was garnered from another person's food tradition. We used to dine at the Mana Cafe regularly when we would visit Madison on a quarterly basis. We had lived in La Crosse for the last 15 years or so. And so we would come back to visit for several reasons and always dine there. When the cafe closed during COVID, the proprietor wrote a cookbook and gifted that kind of to the community. I'm sorry, I get emotional. Aww. Because food is emotional. And it was just a really generous thing to do. She shared all of her recipes, and we could keep making this wonderful food for our families. And so I do that. I make oat cakes on Saturdays, and it's just like being at the cafe. And it's just a really wonderful thing that she gifted, and we can keep making for ours.
Thank you so much for sharing that with us. And Maureen, I think it was you who mentioned it a little earlier. Yeah, this might be a generations-long family tradition, or it might be a tradition that people have put together themselves, as Marianne and her friends did.
Absolutely. And I'm so glad she called in with that comment because it was so beautiful to talk about. And I also really miss Mana Cafe a lot. But I think that's one of the things that's so amazing about food. I mean, it sounds so basic, right? But like how we are able to take these dishes, make them our own, share them with our friends and family, create memories through them, and just seeing how these dishes evolve as time progresses, you know, or maybe you didn't like the way that your grandmother cooked it. So you put a little spin on things and then it becomes something that future generations enjoy, which just a little twist on it. But yeah, I think that's so beautiful.
Thank you so much for sharing that with us, Marianne. We're talking about the latest installment of the Food Traditions series from the Wisconsin Life Projects at PBS Wisconsin and Wisconsin Public Radio. Producers Maureen McCollum from WPR, Kelly Saran from PBS Wisconsin, stay with us. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Do you have a food tradition story you'd like to pass along? Maybe something that could be in a future series from WPR or PBS Wisconsin. What built up that food tradition for you? Was it something with family? Is it something timeless or something that you and your friends invented yourselves? Join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas@WPR.org. We'll continue the conversation coming up here on Central Time. You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. We're picking up our conversation about the series premiere this week of Food Traditions from PBS Wisconsin's at WPR's Wisconsin Life Project. We're talking to WPR producer Maureen McCollum, PBS Wisconsin producer Kelly Saran, and you could join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Does your family have a food tradition? Maybe it's around a holiday. Maybe it's when everybody gets back together. Tell us about it, where it came from. Join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Here's another taste of things from the TV side. We've got Dong Jun Choi of Plover talking about his family tradition of making kimchi. Here's a listen.
I still remember my aunties and uncles and my cousins, everybody came visit my parents' house and they bring like 40 napa cabbage and that would fill up our yard. Okay, I'll throw the green onions in there. They marinate the cabbage all together and they put a lot of stuffing in there. And I still remember this smell always remind me of my childhood and thinking about my family, uncles and aunties, and all the good food. And the nice and crisp air in December or mid-November.
And that one I can connect to, Kelly. I remember my grandparents, my Polish grandparents, making sauerkraut, basically the same concept of fermenting cabbage. Can you talk a little bit now about Dong Jun Choi and how he is carrying on this tradition he talked about remembering as a kid?
Yeah, so I actually got to produce this one, so it was really fun to come into DJ's home with his wife and really talk to him about the importance of how kimjang, which is the culture of creating kimchi together and kind of sitting together, like he mentioned, with his aunts and uncles and really carrying that tradition on with his children, and how he kind of came from South Korea to the Stevens Point Plover area for school, loved the area, loved to be in Wisconsin, but really wanted to kind of tie back to his home, to his memories, and to the things that are important for him. So it was just wonderful to kind of spend the day with them. Kimchi takes a long time. You have to soak the cabbage. You have to brine it. It's kind of it can be an all day process, but the result of it is kind of this fresh fermented vegetable, you know, kimchi that you could eat for a couple weeks at a time. And he talks about how traditionally it was done to prepare for winter. And it's kind of reminded me, and it reminded him, he mentions too, of how the winters in Wisconsin are very similar in Korea, where you kind of have to prepare so that you have food for the season. So I thought that was really nice.
And today on the show, Maureen, we're gonna hear the full version of the story by WPR's Danielle Kading about a Potawatomi-style corn soup called Mondamin Naboob. Here's a short clip of Danny, since we're playing the whole thing later. Short clip setting up the featured speaker, Sarah Gordon Altman, who's a member of the Red Cliff Band of Lake Superior, Chippewa.
She says she feels good that her kids get to grow up eating traditional foods like this.
These foods are their favorite things because these are their home-cooked meals, and that's like what I really like, that they get to keep those food traditions alive.
And Maureen, what did you love about this story that, again, we're going to hear the full version of later today on the show?
Well, I loved I mean, I love the idea of like your children getting involved in the process of cooking and also just getting excited about the dishes that you're eating too. But I guess what I learned with this story as I was working with Danny on it is how most of the different tribes across Wisconsin have their own versions of a corn soup. So they may take a different type of corn to help prepare this soup, or they may add different ingredients. And, you know, these different styles of soups have been passed down through the generations. So that was something that was really fun to think about and learn about. And one thing I should mention is that the recipes for all these dishes we've been talking about are on the website. So when I look at the recipe for the mandam and naboob, I cannot wait to make it because one, it seems like the perfect time of year to make it. And two, it sounds absolutely delicious.
Oh, and hey, what is that website, Maureen?
Oh, hey, Rob. The website is wisconsinlife.org/foodtraditions.
We are talking about a new series, a new season of Food Traditions from Wisconsin Life at WPR and PBS Wisconsin. We've got Maureen McCollum with us on the WPR side of things, Kelly Saran with PBS Wisconsin. Want to go behind the scenes a little bit. Kelly, this is the third time around here. How have you sought out, how have you gone around the state to try to find some of these amazing stories about people's food traditions?
Sometimes it's reaching out to community centers and cultural centers around the state. Sometimes it's just boots on the ground, trying to meet with people in different places. For DJ, I had actually had noticed him. I had made the connection through a Korean restaurant in Stevens Point. So it really can surprise you. Sometimes it's word of mouth, and always, always welcoming people to kind of contact us. If they have a tradition to share or they know somebody else with a great story, we'll take that too. So really, it's just kind of getting out there, meeting people and discovering. I always say, like, everyone has a story to tell. And I feel like everybody also has a food story to tell, too.
Well, you keep setting me up, you two. Kelly, how can people reach out to you if they have that story?
Yeah, so you can email us. We have our contact information on wisconsinlife.org through social media channels as well, too. You can contact either WPR or PBS Wisconsin as well, too. Just kind of reach out and we'll hear from you.
And Maureen, I got to ask, has working on the Food Traditions series over the years made you think about food maybe in a different way than you used to?
Yeah, I think every year we do this, it pushes me to try something new. So, in past years, I remember was it 2 or 3 years ago, there was a dish, salt fish cakes, for example. It was a woman here in Madison who made them, and I could not wait to try them myself. I attempted to make them. They turned out okay. She obviously made hers way better. But I think it's just fun to think about, like, what are some different cuisines that I don't know much about? Is there a country that I've never made one of their, you know, dishes they're known for? Maybe I should, that's a way to find a recipe to make over a weekend. So that's one way that I think this project has changed things, at least for me personally.
And how about you, Kelly?
I think it definitely makes me think twice about my own traditions as well. And what do I consider traditions in my family as well too? And this idea that maybe you're being served a dish at a home, but there really is something behind it. It could be bigger than the dish. It could be something to do with identity and people. And it's really fun to just explore that. It's made me be more thoughtful when people are serving me dishes maybe I've never had before in the past and kind of ask, oh, is this something you make often, or does it have a story behind it? So I think it just really kind of unpeels the layers of the onion, so to say.
Oh, and I don't want to forget to ask, there's a photo essay, one that isn't a TV or radio version by WPR's Angela Major. What do you want to tackle telling us about that one?
Yes. So when you asked, how we find these stories, I had reached out to Angela because she takes absolutely gorgeous photos. She's so talented. So I asked Angela if she wanted to participate in this and if she had any ideas for food traditions. She's based in Janesville. She's like, you know, the oldest Chinese restaurant in Wisconsin is here in Janesville, and it's the second oldest Chinese restaurant in the country. Maybe they'll let me take some photos and talk to them about food. So she went there. She went to the Cozy Inn in Janesville, which I've never been to, and I cannot wait to go. But it's just gorgeous inside. This family has been running it for generations, and they share a recipe of beef Cantonese chow mein, which is a traditional recipe for them. And it's delicious. And I can't believe that they really walked us through the recipe. But I don't think that we will be able to recreate the magic that they make there.
Now, I got to say, you know, I host a Food Friday here on Central Time, and there's an occupational hazard, right? You spend the afternoon reading up on the food and looking at pictures of the food, then you're talking about the food. Kelly, do you find yourself just getting hungry on the job all the time working on this?
It's crazy. I'll even try to eat before I look at these pages, and even leaving the pages after, I still feel like I'm so hungry.
You
can't avoid it. You're just so many good photos and videos of delicious food. You really can't help but be hungry.
Well, and a hazard for radio, Maureen, you know, I'm trying to talk on the radio. My mouth is watering. Have you ever run into that doing your part of the radio work?
I probably have, Rob. I've done everything embarrassing you could do on the radio. But I know that there were times when I'd edit these stories and I would just be really angry that I had like yogurt and granola for breakfast and not, you know, corn soup for breakfast, which sounded like a way better option.
And Kelly, can you leave us with some encouragement for people to, you know, talk about and pass along their food traditions, maybe to the next generation or to friends and family?
Yeah, I guess like really think about what do you consider a food tradition. It could be an ingredient. It could be the way that you cook things. It could be the time of the year. Oftentimes we connect things with holidays and special foods around holidays. So I hope when people look at the series, they can think to themselves, what do I consider a food tradition? Get their brain rolling and be inspired to kind of share that recipe with their family members as well.
And we'll leave it there. Kelly, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you so much.
And Maureen, thanks for being with us.
Thanks, Rob.
Been talking to Kelly Saran, Wisconsin Life series producer for PBS Wisconsin, and Maureen McCollum, Wisconsin Life radio series producer here at WPR. We talked to them about the latest special series of food traditions, TV, and radio features that debuted this week. Still time to share your food tradition stories. Might actually make a better email, especially if you have pictures of food to share. You can email ideas@WPR.org. That's ideas@WPR.org. A cherished food tradition, or maybe one that you grew up that you didn't cherish so much along the way. Either way, email ideas@WPR.org. If you send us a couple few of them, I'll mention them maybe later in the week. I'm Rob Ferret. You're listening to Central Time here on the Ideas Network.